Thanks. Father, we give you thanks. We celebrate your faithfulness. There is no one like you. There is no one like you. There is no one like you. Thank you once again for the privilege to be alive to see the month of June 2017. We give you thanks for all the benefits that we have enjoyed since the beginning of the year. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you adoration. And Lord, as we look into your word, open our eyes of understanding to behold wondrous things out of your law today in the mighty name of Jesus. And let your name alone be glorified in the mighty name of Jesus. Through this Holy Spirit, we surrender everything unto you, Lord. Come and be in control in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we give you thanks. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have given thanks. Hallelujah. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We can take our seat. Hallelujah. There is this song that came to my mind while we were sitting down. I think it's a popular song in one of the cities that I used to play in when I was in Nigeria. Then it said, "Be glorified, be glorified. Be glorified in the heaven. Be glorified on the earth. Be glorified in this temple. Jesus, Jesus, be that glorified." If you know that song, you can join me. Say, "Be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified in the heaven. Be glorified on the earth. Be glorified in this temple. Temple of earth, this body of mine. I wonder what else to pray right now. Lord, be glorified in my body. Be glorified in my body. Jesus, be glorified. Because Jesus cannot be glorified in your body and sickness is still abiding there. Two kings cannot be in a kingdom at the same time. Two kings cannot occupy the same thing at the same time. Jesus cannot be glorified in your body and sickness is still dwelling there. I want us to pray, Lord, be glorified in my body. Jesus cannot be glorified in your body and all manner of negative habits are still abiding there. It's not possible. Pray that God be glorified in my temple. Be glorified in my body. I present my body afresh to you today. Sanctify me, holy. Cleanse me from every unrighteousness in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying.
Amen.
Hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen.
We give God thanks for his faithfulness. You know, we started the year when he spoke to us that it's our year of divine enlightenment, Rehoboth. And by prophetic instruction, he said we should be looking at all the seven redemptive benefits, one by one. Hallelujah. Let's go to the word of God so we can remind ourselves. Revelation chapter 5. Hallelujah to Jesus. so easy to find the book of Revelation. It's the last book of the Bible. And in chapter 5 and in verse 12 specifically, he said, no, let's start from verse 11. He said, "And I beheld and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands." Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. He said, "Say," let's read together, "with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Hallelujah.
Amen.
And if you look at our prophetic confession, you see that right from the third one. Hallelujah. No, from the fourth one down to the last one, it's talking about those systemic benefits. If you're sensitive, we are looking at it very well. And specifically, we read the number 8 today. He's talking about the prophetic focus for the month, where he says, if you see after that paper, he said, "I received fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit, of the Spirit of Holiness." He said, "Therefore, I will not walk in the counsel of the ungodly." Hallelujah. And if you look at it, you see that the next one is talking about where it says that Jehovah Shammah is ever present to me, talking about the ever abiding presence of God. So, God said he's going to visit the camp afresh in his power and his majesty.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But before he comes, he wants us to clean up. Hallelujah. You know when he wants to host visitors in the house, especially our mothers, they know this one, they will spend time cleaning and making everything ready. I remember when we were growing up in Nigeria, if the governor is visiting the state or the president is coming to your state that time, in fact, there are times when they will almost stop the lectures in school and ask us to clean everywhere just because one president is coming. Hello? So if we can do that, to go to that level of preparation just to host a president that will even be there, that will just sit in his car, that will not come out of the car, that will just be waving at people. We spend days to prepare. One of the Most High. Thank you, Jesus. And that's why he's saying that he's going to visit the camp, but every divine visitation is always preceded by what? Preparation. God will never visit you unprepared in that manner. Why? He is the Most High. He's a consuming fire. He doesn't want to destroy you. Hello? You know, if God did not protect the man after the fall, when he came to the garden, his presence will have consumed them. If you have a mirror that is plain, when you direct a beam of light to it, it will reflect all, isn't it? But when it is dirty, it will try to absorb some, and it will end up burning it up. That's why if you have your mirror that is constantly dirty, after a while, you see, it will lose the glory. Hallelujah to Jesus. And that is the plan that God has for us. And he wants us to what? To prepare. Because without expectation, there cannot be manifestation. We're not living in a kingdom of permutation or kingdom of chances that, okay, well, let's know the chances of this thing happening. No. It's a kingdom of specifics. When God said this is the way it should be done that way. Otherwise, forget about it. Because our God is an unchangeable God. We have made us to understand that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you, Jesus. He said, our God cannot change, does not change. Thank God that our God cannot change, does not change. Thank you, Jesus. But we need to understand that fact, that we have to prepare for his coming. The Bible made us to understand that Jesus is coming for a church without wrinkle. He's coming for the bride without wrinkle. He's not coming for a bride that he will patch. I say no, you know, on the wedding day, the women, they may not care about the food that they want to prepare to serve the people, but they're about their wedding gown. if you really want to offend a woman, go and talk anyhow about his wedding gown, then you fight quite quickly. You say, okay, but is it not just for one day, not just for one, so few hours, just go and buy any anyhow gown? Then you want to offend her. But Bible made us understand that the church is the bride, isn't it? No, I mean, is the bride, isn't it? And Jesus is the groom. He's coming for the church without wrinkle. And God is not going to change the rule because of you and I. So if God is coming for a church without wrinkle, it simply means that he's coming for to meet a holy church. And one of the challenges that we have, especially in this dispensation, is that the church of this time is so loaded with power that we forgot the issue of holiness. It's not a popular thing. I remember when we started in South Africa then, and we were talking about some things. One guy called me and said, "Pastor, I like your message. He was even a Muslim. I like the way you conduct yourself. I can see your passion. I can see the everything. I mean, you really want to do this." But I said, But the way you are doing it, I'm not sure that there are really a lot of people will come to this church this way. I said, "Why?" He said, "Because when you are telling them not to commit sin, we are telling them not to drink, not to do this, not to do that, then they won't come because they want people that will deceive them." I said, "Yes, I would prefer to have few people that are on their way to heaven rather than have multitude that will be deceived to hell." Hallelujah to Jesus. It does not mean that places where we have large churches are sinful. What I'm trying to say is that it is rather better to have people who are living a sanctified life than have millions that you are deceiving. Thank you, Jesus. And so it told us about the prophetic focus for the month. Hallelujah to Jesus. God knows the importance of this. And like I said, he wants to protect his people. He doesn't want them to be consumed because it's a consuming fire. If he comes and you behold him in that state, his presence will have consumed us. But because of his love for us, he sent his only begotten son, who laid down his life so that his blood can purify us and cleanse us from every ungodliness. Thank you, Jesus. And so we will be looking the whole month at the issue of sanctification. Hallelujah to Jesus. Let's go to the word of God again. In Psalms chapter 1. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Psalms chapter 1. Starting from verse 1 here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, "Are we there?"
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. I think I need to open this window so that I can see. The light here is not so bright. Jesus, we have to buy some extra lamp here. Hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen.
It's much better now. Psalm chapter 1 said, "Blessed is the man." Say, "Blessed is the man."
Blessed is the man.
Say, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." He said, but. See, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Law of what? The law of the Lord. Say, in his law, or in the law of the Lord, doth he meditate day and night. Hallelujah. He said, and he shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his due season. Hallelujah. He said, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It don't say may prosper. The word shall mean man of necessity, whatever he doeth must prosper. But there is a condition that was set that will make chapter 3 to happen. Chapter 1 and 2 must precede chapter 3. Hallelujah. Except you want to do your abracadabra. It's 1, 2, 3. Not 1, 3, 2. Hallelujah. He said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." It simply means that your walk must be a walk of the Spirit. It must be a walk that goes in line with the word of God. That's why he said that he will not walk in the counsel of the godly. He will not stand in the way of the sinner. And he will not sit, what? With the scornful. Who are the scornful? Those who look at the word of God with disdain. You say, "This is the way it should be." You say, "No, don't mind them. It's because they don't have any work. That's why they are going to church. That's why they are carrying Bible around. That's why they are even serving God. It's because they are poor. Even here, you ask people, they say, oh, come on, they say Jesus is your life. So, oh, I say, yes, yeah, I think so. But, you know, in those countries where they are going to trouble, they are serving God because of hunger. That's why. But that's fantasy. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Hallelujah. He said, he will not sit in the seat of the scornful. Those who look at the word of God with disdain. He said, but his delight shall be in what? In the law of the Lord. What's the law of the Lord? The word of the Lord. Hallelujah. His delight shall be in the law of the Lord or in the word of the Lord. So you see where the word of God is celebrated, wherever the law of the Lord is celebrated, wherever the counsel of the Lord is celebrated, wherever the precept of the Lord is celebrated, because the Bible used many words to describe it, it still means the word of God. Wherever the word of God is celebrated, it means God is celebrated there, and of necessity, the glory of God must be there. Hallelujah to Jesus. What do we call glory? Glory simply means the manifest presence of God. Just like when you have your perfume, you put it in your bathroom, you didn't press it to release the scent. It may be there for 20 years, you won't spend any perfume. But when you press it, you press the cork and you release the scent, you see, oh, everywhere is smelling nice. Hallelujah. The same way, God is omnipresent, it's everywhere. But it's only where he is celebrated that he releases his aroma. And the word glory simply means the manifest presence of God. Hallelujah. You know, we have different levels of his presence. We have the omnipresence. I mean, it's everywhere. We have the mobile presence of God. Because we are Christians, we are believers. Because we have received Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, he lives inside us. So we have his mobile presence. It's everywhere we go. Whether in the toilet or in the pit or on the mountain or anywhere, he's there with you. But the mobile presence does not necessarily equal to manifest presence. Manifest presence is what we call glory. That means everywhere you go, they will see that God is with you. God is in you. And one of the indexes to show that is your character. Can people vouch? Are you the type that say, okay, whenever you leave a place, they say, oh, thank God, he has left. You remember in the book of Acts, they called them Christians for the first time in Antioch, not because they were distributing handbills, not because they were conducting any service. They look at their character. They look at the way they carry themselves. They said, this must be Christ Christian. That means little Christ. Can our conduct show that we are Christians? I shared something with us one time when I was sitting in the train. I was listening to a conversation of some guys. And they were talking, one of dirty talks. And one of their friends that joined them, one of the stations, then joined them and they continued the talk. And suddenly they changed the topic. And they said, okay, were you at that, you didn't call it crusade, at that outreach the other day? He said, yes, I was there. I even shared all my flyers. I said, these guys were sharing flowers, flyers around. So they are Christian, and they are talking like this. They are talking about how they will be messing around with girls, how they have been doing a lot of things in this country. I said, oh, these are Christians? And I look at them. Can people like that go to witness to somebody and say, Jesus loves you? If you try to tell me that kind of thing, I say, but I heard everything you've been saying from life from Sudan, tell you up to you, didn't you? You are not Christians. Hallelujah. I told you that there was a time when one guy, even two times, that where a guy came to minister to me, to witness to me. His mouth was smelling of alcohol. And I said, what is that? He started defending. I said, yes, I'm a Christian as well. I said, can you imagine somebody conducting a crusade? The evangelist is holding the microphone with one hand and a beer bottle with one hand. I said, receive Jesus. I sip it. Will you listen to him? You won't listen. Hallelujah. Does our conduct, does it show that we are Christian? Jesus is coming for a church without wrinkles. This is not a popular message that people say, yes, but this is the reality. God has not changed. God cannot change. Without holiness, that means no one can see God. The devil will not succeed in deceiving us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Because we live in the age where people tell you can get it by all means, not by God's means anymore. where people are trying to bring down others just to go up. But as for us, the mercy of God, we see to it that we make it to heaven in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth. So, you shouldn't walk in it. You should not stand in it. Don't say, okay, I'm just hanging around. Because some of us say, okay, you know, it's my friend. I love him so much. I don't want to offend him. So, I won't tell him the truth. No. You know, I have this policy. All my old friends, whenever we get in, we reunite, maybe through social media or whatever, I don't waste time at all. Once we say, okay, how are you? It's been long. Okay. I quickly listen to his conversation. Does he speak like a Christian? And I will, even if you speak like a Christian, I won't end without talking about it. Ah, I hope you are born again now. Hallelujah. Because I did it one for one. He became offended. I said, yes, when we were in school, I mean, when we were together, you used to be a very nice person. Everybody, I mean, I thought then that you are a Christian. But then I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't born again. Now I'm born again. I don't want to mistake. I don't want to confuse being nice and being a Christian. Are you saved now? And he became angry. I said, yes. I said, why are you asking? I said, I have to ask you. I don't want to assume. Are you born again now? Hallelujah. Because nobody can be nice. You may not be born again. That you are born in a church doesn't make you a Christian. That you are born by a pastor doesn't make you a Christian. That your husband is a pastor doesn't make you a Christian. Hello? It is a personal thing. It's a personal work. Eternity is too long to be spent in hell. None of you, or none of us, or anyone that's numbered with us, will end up in hell, the mighty name of Jesus Christ. He said, blessed is he the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law, will he meditate day and night. Holiness is not possible without you acquainting yourself or being acquainted with the word of God. So it's not possible. Because see, if you judge by human standards, somebody can try to correct you or tell you to do something. Maybe according to his own passion or according to his own taste. He may be wrong. But the word of God cannot be wrong. And that's why when you purify yourself or you sanctify yourself, the Bible says, sanctify thyself by thy word, for thy word is truth. The word of your husband, may be saying something at a point, it may be even the truth, but because of maybe what has been happening or the way he has presented, it may not be right. But that doesn't change the truth. Hallelujah. The word of God is to say, sanctify them by thy word, for thy word is true. The word of God is true. As we try to round up, let's look at that scripture. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Psalms 119. Remember, we said manifestation is always preceded by preparation. Without manifestation, there can't be glory. Because the glory of God is the manifest presence of God. And without preparation, there cannot be manifestation. Hello?
Hi.
You will not lose color in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Your destiny will not lose color in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes.
You will not end up as a fugitive in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes.
Nobody wants to identify with Cain. Have you ever seen how many people is named Cain in this world? You see somebody say, Mr. Cain, you look at him twice and say, hey, don't you have Bible in your house? Hallelujah. But many people answer him there. Nobody wants to be king like he did. He ended up as a fugitive. Psalms 119. Hallelujah. He said, blessed. Let me bring it closer here. I'm reading from King James Version. He said, blessed are the undefiled in the way. Look at it. Psalms 1 says, he doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. So, is he talking about the way? You know, a lot of time, the sin that we commit has to do with our ways, our career, what we want to eat. Remember when they were returning the ark of God, and they loaded it on that on the cart drawn by on the by. Where did the ox had problem? At the threshing floor. You know, the threshing floor is where they threshing corn. You can imagine the cow carrying load, kitty, kata, kitty, kata. And as he was going, he saw some grains on the floor. He said, ah, I will eat this one. No. And as he was eating, trying to eat it, he lost concentration and the thing fell. You see, even animal, he caused trouble because of what he wants to eat. Hallelujah. Human being as well. Majority of this, you see, somebody will go to church on Sunday, will be shaking like this. He gets to work on Monday. He starts doctoring paper. I mean, if you are familiar with the Yaba market in Nigeria, where those guys sell cloth. This guy, when it is time for fellowship, they'll be shouting and be praying. In fact, that time they won't say anything to you. But immediately after that fellowship, go to their shop to sell something. Something that he bought for one naira. He wants to sell it for 15 naira. And when you say, well, okay, can I pay? You say, no. He will be swearing. I bought it for 10 naira. He just finished fellowship. He's wrong. He prayed. But when it comes to the career, to the work of the something changed. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says that. Say, he repeated it again and again. He said, walking. Hello? Most of the sin. Why did the Bible say that love of money is the root of all evil? It has to do with work. All these isms, all this big grammar they are talking is because of money. Behind everything, they want to milk people. That's why they call it capitalism. They want to capitalize on your weakness to milk you. They will give some man of name. It's not like amen. It's not true. Their own principle is to milk people. May God have mercy in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. He said, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. So, walking in the law of the Lord, or walking in the word of the Lord, or walking according to his word. He said, blessed are they that keep his testimony. What is the testimony of the Lord? He's talking about the word of the Lord. He said, and they that seek him with their whole heart. He said, they also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Did you see it now? So they walk in God's way because they gave attention to God's word, to God's testimony. They loaded it in their heart. That's why the Psalm said that you will meditate in that word. You will meditate in that precept. You will meditate in his commandment day and night. So when the word of God is ruling your heart, it will be difficult to sin. Hallelujah. Because the word of God and the spirit of God, they are one. Jesus said, the word that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Ezekiel wrote, he said that their spirit enter me when he speak the word. So when the word of God is dwelling in your heart, the spirit of God will be dwelling in your heart, and the spirit of God will not allow you to go against the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. What are we talking about? It is a time to what? To buckle up. We were talking about it like the man of God said. I mean, when we started the service, about the end time and about all this manner of 666, I mean, you see, people will not be forced to take that sign. They will take it willingly. I was telling my son, yesterday, I said, look at the trend now. Just suddenly, this summer, they came out with all manner of nonsense dress. They're not celebrating rag. Have you not noticed that in fact, we saw one today, you know, most of the time, they use their trousers. But this one, it was even a skirt. She was like a mad woman, actually.
Even they use leggings now.
Leggings that is not like that. So, see, I say, how can that be the trendy thing that is reigning now? Right from beginning, nakedness has always been associated with shame. So, why would somebody wake up and say, now I want to go around with rags? So it's so easy. They will take that number willingly. Without being begged. That's why we need to know the truth. There are things going on. There are ministries. There are people, pastors that are lying. Deceiving people. A matter of money. And they are taking advantage of people's ignorance. They will tell you, okay, we have a special anointing or somewhere that I want to get for you. Or I want to travel to South Korea to meet a very important man of God. Please bring money so that I can buy handkerchief for you. When did that happen? How much did Paul take from them to pray for the handkerchief? How much did Jesus collect to lay hand on them? How much did Peter collect to lay hand on the man on the beautiful gate. What are we talking about? But people are following. Imagine the one we watch on the video clip. They asked them to be eating grass, and they were eating it. If people can eat grass, which one is easier? To allow somebody to put no more your hair or to eat grass? You know, they're not animals. They have turned to be animals, actually, because he has brainwashed them. So people will take it. And that's why we need to load ourselves with the word of God. Load yourself with the word of God. Don't take it lightly. Don't be too busy. Hallelujah. We don't get too busy that we don't eat. It's still fine to eat. So why will we not eat? Thank you, Jesus. He said in verse 3, he said, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precept diligently. Anyhow, no, diligently. Be diligent. That means it requires hard work. It requires effort. It doesn't happen on its own. You don't wake up and one day the word of God find yourself. Even if you carry the Bible, you burn it and you drink the ashes, it won't work, sir. Hallelujah. You have to take conscious effort to read it, to know what it says concerning issues of your life. You know, when my wife was giving the testimony, see, I know that the testimony will manifest. But the issue was, and I kept on praying about, Lord, what is your way out of this situation? What step must we take to bust this bubble, sir? Lord, reveal unto us. We don't want to be led by our own understanding. We don't want to led by our own intellectual capacity. But God, what are you saying? What must we do to take delivery of this expectation, sir? Hallelujah. So, yeah, load yourself. Acquaint yourself with the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. He said, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. He said, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. See, the word of God used many words referring to the same thing. Thy statutes means thy instructions or thy law or thy ordination. I mean, not ordination. What do you call it? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yeah, they call it precepts, doctrines, yes, thy doctrines, ordinances. That's the word I was looking for. See, the Bible uses different words to mean it. It simply means, don't look at all the theological big grammar. It simply means his word. His ordinances is his word or his ways. His way is his word. He's still referring to the same thing. His instructions, his way of life. Will God do it or say what you are saying? No. Would you just say, oh, my own has finished, so I'm dead? No. He only finished when he said it was finished. Hallelujah. Would you just speak to his brethren and say, oh, James, you are stupid. You are the most stupid boy I've ever seen. No. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
He said in verse 6, he said, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments? So, to avoid shame, what? Give respect unto his commandment. Know what I said in the book of Timothy? He said, study to show yourself approved, avoiding shame. So, the easiest way to avoid shame is to give attention to his word. Because his word cannot be living in you and you not living according to his word. And when you are living according to his word, shame is not possible. Hello? You know, there are things we pray for that we don't need to pray for, sir. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? You don't pray, oh God, God, shake your head. Shake your head for what? Just walk in his way. Hello? You know, even in this world system, I remember one time the richest man in Africa, it's late now in Nigeria, he said, they were talking to him, they call it in Yoruba, Agbano, that means that people make money and they couldn't account for it and the money just goes. He said, can Agbano come into your money? And he said, if it comes, it will eat and die and become fertilizer and the money will become more. Even unbeliever could understand that one. Abba. Devourer. He said, they asked him, then he was Nigerian, the richest man in Africa. Then they asked him, he said, can a devourer come into your wealth and devour the wealth and make it? He said, let it come. He said, it will come. He said, the wealth is so much that it will come, devourer will come, it will eat and die there and become fertilizer and we even make the money to become more. An unbeliever had the understanding of that.
And but you are shaking your head. Walk in his ways, sir. And let me see the devil that will stop you. It's not possible. It's not possible. He said, have respect unto thy covenant. Why? Because the dark places of the earth is full of the habitation of cruelty. You cannot be walking according to covenant and be damned. It's not possible. It's not possible. He said, prove me ye me now, if I will not open the windows of heaven. As a tither, you are not designed to be under. It's not possible. No, it's not possible. It is not possible. Except the word of God is not true. He said, prove me. He said, test me. Show me. Test me now. Test me now. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 7, he said, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. He said, when I shall have learned thy righteous judgment. So your praises cannot be acceptable except it is done according to the word of God. Know what I said, that obedience is better than sacrifice. You know sacrifice? Sacrifice means you pay offering or you will, or even you sing. It's of no use when you are not obeying the word of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He said, obedience is better than sacrifice. What is of what use is the fat of ram that you are burning, but you are not obeying God? That's why the root of it is what? Obey his instructions. See, look at Saul. Saul, he did partial obedience. He went, God said, go and fight. He risked his life to go and fight. God said, when you go there, fight to you destroy everything. He destroyed all. He spared only few. That was where his problem started. So he obeyed partially. And the priest said, obedience is better than sacrifice. You sacrifice your life. You say, okay, all the animals that you gather, you will use it to you will burn them to sacrifice unto God. Yes, the sacrifice could only be acceptable after obedience. Thank you, Jesus. So thank God for the ability to come to church. Thank God for ability to pray. Thank God for ability to worship, to lead worship, or to lead prayer, to leave everything. But it's my life according to the word of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, he said, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. He said in verse 9, he said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? It's a question mark. He said, then he answered it. Said, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. So how can a man cleanse his word, his life, or his way? A young man. Hello? A young man is full of energy. A young man is full of hopes. A young man is full of vision. He wants to be something in life. He has the energy. He has the health. He has the connection. He has everything. But how can he cleanse his way? Except by giving attention to his word. And we know the life of youth in the natural. See all manner of pressure they are going through. Yesterday they told us about the statistics, how the rate of suicide in Sweden within a few years has increased by 35%. Why? Pressure here and there. Pressure from the media. Pressure from friends. So there are times when my son will tell me I want to buy this, I say, what for? It's just to satisfy the pressure from your friend, because your friend hardly doesn't make it right. These are things you don't need. Hello? God did not say he will supply all your wants. He said he will supply all your needs. Take that word. Philippians 4:19. He said, I and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory, not all your wants. So do you need that thing? So they are going through pressure. But the word of God still said that they can still succeed and live and to fulfill destiny despite those pressures they are passing through by giving attention to the word of God. So if the heart of a young man is full of the word of God, he will not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
He said, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Verse 11 said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Let's stand up. Thank you, Jesus. Say thy word. have I hid in my heart that I will not sin against thee? There are things you want to do that the Holy Spirit will convict you. No, don't do it. Even, you know, when I'm typing SMS, not just even saying it, many times the Holy Spirit say, no, don't type this. This is wrong. Hello? not even saying it with my mouth. Say, no, don't type this. This is not in line with my word. You see, just responding to SMS, not even fighting the person. They say, no, for example, maybe negative confession. I say, well, this is just SMS, this is just chatting. No, no, don't type this, it's wrong. Hallelujah. See, when the word of God is residing in your heart or abiding in your heart, there are things you won't say. No matter the pressure, it will never come out of you because it's already there. But if it is not there, if it is just on the head, if it's not down in your heart, you will say it when pressure comes. Hallelujah. You will say it. Thank you, Jesus. You know, the lawyers, they know this secret. They want to catch people when they are cross-examining them in law court. They know where they are going, but they will begin to say things, something that will make you angry. Once you are angry, they know that emotion is in control. You are no more in control. The flesh is in control. Then they know that they don't catch you. They won't catch you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The devil will not succeed in roping you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thing that you will say that will bring down your home, you will not say it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Things that you will say that will bring down your career, you will never do it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Document that you will sign that will destroy your destiny, you will not sign it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Then God of heaven will defend you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Let's begin to give him praise. Let's give him thanks. Let's give him honor. Let's give him adoration. Him alone is worthy. Him alone is worthy. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart so that I will not sin against you. And when I don't sin against you, I will enjoy the glory. I will enjoy the honor. I will enjoy your presence. Oh God, I give you thanks. Oh God, we give you thanks. We magnify your holy name. Be glorified. Be exalted. Be lifted high. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's give him thanks. Let's magnify his holy name. Him alone is worthy. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. Blessed be your name, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. You know, one thing I want us to understand is this. God always has remnants that are worshiping him in every nation. You remember when Elijah was under pressure? He wanted to give up. At the time, he even became offended. And started complaining. God, what are you looking at? Look at all the exploits that I did in your name. Look at now this woman, Jezebel, pursuing me. Take me home. I don't want to do anymore. And we are like that as well. Say, oh, I'm in Sweden, in a country that is called the second most secularized nation in the world. I've been to the street to distribute a hambi. Nobody wants to take it. Oh, no, I don't know what's happening here. Nothing's happening here. There's no Christian here. God said, keep quiet. I have 7,000 people that have not bowed down for Baal. I told you the experience I had one time when somebody came to me. I was going home late in the evening. And this man, he came to me to witness. I saw one man one time was just moving this same way to Bolster. He was moving. Initially, I thought something was wrong with him. But when I listened to him and I walked near him, I saw he was praying the Holy Ghost. He was walking from the one end of the train to another, praying in the Holy Ghost. The other man that spoke to me in the train said he used to wake up every morning before going to work. He said he living in Roninge. He's working, I think, around the master's side. He said he will, first of all, do evangelism in the morning before he goes to job. And when he closes, doesn't go on straight. He will still sit on the train, moving. I said, what are you doing? He said, I will still follow this train to Zulatelia and follow it back to master before I go back to my Roninge. Poor man don't live in Roninge, sir. He doesn't look like a beggar. But he was busy witnessing and telling people about Jesus. Hello? So don't say, okay, yeah, they don't serve God here. There are people that are serving God in the truth and the spirit here, sir. So vow to say, Lord, no matter what it will take, I want to serve you. Begin to give him glory once again. Thank him for the privilege to even serve him at all. Give him praise. Give him honor. Give him adoration.
Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying.
Amen.
And as we take communion right now, in 1 Corinthians 11, chapter 17. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
1 Corinthians 11, 17. He said, now in this that I decree unto you, praise you not, that you come to you come together not for better, but for worse. Hallelujah. And if we jump to verse 23, straight to save our time, say, for I have received of the Lord which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do ye in remembrance of me. Say, after the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, when he drank, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Say, this do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Hallelujah. He said, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. So every time you partake of it, you receive his life. Say, this is my life. This is a spiritual life transfusion system. He gives you the life of Jesus. His life was immune to ungodliness. Ungodliness could not thrive in his life. Even as a youth, the parents wanted to divert him. I said, no, why won't you allow me to do my father's work? At 12. You know, I guess Joseph was thinking, I'm raising this one to be a good carpenter. I said, no, don't be carpenter. This one, another type of carpenter. Let me do my father's work. He could, you know, he was able to withstand. So that was time they look at him. He fed them. He gave them plenty of things. And say, this one is a good one. Oh, let's make him a king. He ran away. They wanted to push him to come out of divine purpose. So you see that he was tempted the way we are being tempted now. He didn't fall. Why? The life of God in him, the life of his father in him, will not allow him to fall to sin. And as you partake of his life today, every weakness is turned to strength in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, some people will say, okay, confess according to the word of God. He wants to do it. But say, just like Samuel said that time, say, that is for real. This pain is there. Yes, for real, it's there. But it takes inner strength, sir. It takes inner strength when your mates are being promoted and you see what they are doing to get it. You know that this one cannot end you in heaven to say no to it. It takes inner strength, sir. It takes inner strength to see a man that is obviously against your prosperity, that is against you going to the topmost top, and still say, I love you with the love of God. It takes inner strength to look at someone that has abused you and say, I forgive you. It takes inner strength, sir. Hallelujah. So as you partake of this blood today, blood of Jesus and his flesh, we receive that strength to live a godly life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We receive the strength because he said, whoever partake of it, he will live like me, like me. We receive the strength to live like him. In the name of Jesus Christ. We will not be found in the counsel of the ungodly. In the mighty name of Jesus. We will not walk in the area of sinful people, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We will not join them to mock God, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
We will not join them to mock God and his kingdom, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we give you thanks.
Thank you,
we give you glory. And God, even according to your word, as we are partaking of this, because this mystery is meant to minister to our spirit, soul, and body. It's a mystery that we empower our spirit man to walk according to the will of God. It's a mystery that we empower our bodies, our physical bodies, to adjust for natural health. It's a mystery that we purge our consciences from every dead work. So as we partake of it today, we receive all these benefits in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Hallelujah. Let's come and partake of the communion. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this message. However, I want to remind you that God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son for the entire world, including you, to be saved from sin and all its consequences. It therefore does not make any sense to spend the next minute of your life without accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. God bless you as you believe and confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior right now. Hallelujah.